A reading from the evangelist St. Matthew, the 8th chapter. When he came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will be clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them." When he had entered Capernaum, the centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly." And he said to him, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion replied, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority, with soldiers under me, and I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, "Truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And to the centurion Jesus said, "Go. Let it be done for you as you have believed." And the servant was healed at that very moment. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
It's hard to believe. This reading is really hard to believe. It's hard to believe that a leper walked up to Jesus, asked to be made clean, and was. A man diseased with a horrible affliction, quite possibly something with which he had been afflicted for a lengthy period of time, and yet having the boldness to walk up to someone he shouldn't have been anywhere near because of his disease and asked to be healed. The boldness empowered by faith that this one to whom he was going could do what he was asking, if he was willing to do so. It's hard to believe that this sick, frail man believed that Jesus could heal him. But this man really believed that his affliction could be taken away. What's more, Jesus was willing. And with but a word, the man was made clean. It's hard to believe. No touch, no medical tests, no procedures, just a word. It's hard to believe that a centurion would believe so much that he would implore Jesus to heal his servant. Yet the man did. So much did he believed that Jesus could do it in the same way as he had healed the leper, with a word, and in this case from a distance, the servant not even being present. It's hard to believe. Yet Jesus was willing. Jesus spoke the word, and the man was healed immediately. It's hard to believe. It's hard to believe because we don't usually see activity like this in our daily lives, and it doesn't seem to quite compute in our small pea-sized brains with our rational thinking. Our fragile minds cannot wrap themselves around quite such miraculous healings. Healing from illness for us is often messy. Doctors and blood tests, surgeries and intravenous medications, hospitals and nursing homes, physical therapy and long processes that must be followed. Yes, healing from illness or another health malady is often a long and messy, complex thing. Rarely is it instantaneous, and it doesn't just happen with the utterance of a word or two. Even when we pray in our lives for healing, we rarely, if ever, see such a rapid healing as described in today's text. And so it's hard for us to believe. Maybe in our sin we even begrudge those healed in our text because of how rapidly they received the answer to their prayer, and it hasn't been as rapid for us in our prayer. There's a simple reason it's hard for us to believe this text. It's hard for us to believe because we're sinners. And therefore, it's hard for us to believe at all. Not just the miracles in our text, but believing at all. The world and our sinful flesh are constantly attacking us. The devil doesn't want us to believe. So he creates doubts in our minds and makes us question things. It's his oldest weapon. After all, what did he say to Eve? God did not really say, did he? And what happened? Eve gave in to temptation and fell into sin. He comes to us and he does the same thing with the same kinds of thoughts and the same kinds of words, casting doubt in our sinful minds, convincing us that it's just too difficult to believe, so maybe we shouldn't. And if that doesn't work, he leads us into further temptation, and then he lays on guilt for our sin. Before long, lost in our sin, knowing that we are condemned under the law, he builds up that guilt within us so that even if we thought we might believe for ourselves, the devil convinces us things are just too hopeless. Even if the text is true for those people, the devil convinces us it's not about us. And we begin to believe that God cannot restore us, not as wretched of a sinner as we are. Even the forgiveness given to others, we can't seem to wrap our minds around the fact that it applies to us. Yes, it's hard to believe. And that's why, thanks be to God, he has sent us his Holy Spirit. It is hard to believe. You and I, in and of ourselves, cannot do it. But God has given us even that gift of his Spirit to create faith within us, to enable us to believe even the most miraculous things. Things like a leper being healed at the speaking of a word, or a centurion's servant believed at the utterance of a word spoken that healing would come. He creates faith within our hearts. It's hard to believe, but God gives us himself and the very gift and ability to believe in him. He speaks a word, and the Spirit comes, and we are restored. Faith is created. We're marked as we emerge from the font drenched in word-drenched waters, marked as those redeemed by Christ the crucified. Not just some physical ailment like leprosy or the disease of the centurion's servant gone, but sin forgiven, life restored, eternal life ahead. It's hard to believe, but God spoke a word and we have been forgiven. It's all done by word. The word died. The word made flesh died in our place for us, that our forgiveness and our life and our salvation might be accomplished. God spoke word. The very Christ himself came and suffered eternal hell for us. The word died that we might have life. The word rose and life was restored. It seems hard to believe that God would die for his fallen creation, but he is a God of love, and it's just what he has done for us, and he has enabled us to believe it. For he is willing to heal and to cleanse. diseases and maladies like those in our text, if not now, if not immediately, then in eternity. But more importantly, he is willing to cleanse us from sin and death, now and for all eternity. And he speaks that word to you. I'm willing. Be clean. Your sins are forgiven and you are made whole in an instant. From the throne of heaven to the mouth of your pastor speaking Christ's word. It's hard to believe. And so that's why he gathers us around his word and his sacrament in the sanctuary. In the divine service, to be fed week after week, to hear those words of promise week in and week out. In the classrooms of our Lutheran schools, at all levels, the work is the same. Proclaiming the word of Christ, that he is willing and has forgiven us. Preparing the whole person and body and soul for life in this world and in eternity. Cognizant that it's hard to believe, especially in the world around us, reaffirming the Spirit's work and equipping our precious children to faithfully continue to receive Christ's gifts. It's hard to believe, but it's true. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ has forgiven you of all your sins. To him be the glory, now and forever. Amen.